You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
On this edition of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll look back at the Champions League match against Valencia and speculate as to who United will face in the last 16 of the competition. With Ben Emel starting in midweek, we ask if it's the end for Thomas Kushak at Old Trafford, and as we have Arsenal in the Premier League on Monday, we welcome Arsblogger to the show to help preview the game.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Oh, hello and welcome to episode 59 of the redcafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and yes, I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, how are you this week?
I'm very well, thank you, Steve. The weather is still pretty cool up here. There's nothing happening, and I've got my work Christmas due tomorrow as well, so I'm fully geared up for that adventure.
Going to be having a few.
Hopefully, yeah, because I've got the day off on Friday booked, so I'll be that should be okay.
Yeah, we do encourage everybody to drink responsibly as well, and I want you to drink responsibly.
How are you doing this week, then, Dov?
Yeah, not too bad. I had an audience with the Pope on Sunday, which was interesting. I went to Rome, I couldn't really see him very well, but he was apparently there and quite far away. I could see his purple robe and stuff, but yeah, that was fun.
Sounds good. All right then. Well, we'll get cracking then with the show, shall we? Obviously, no Premier League game to talk about, as that was postponed due to the weather. We'll kick off with the Champions League game against Valencia on Tuesday. The 1-1 draw, Dan. I suppose that's a case of job done, considering that top of the group through to the knockout stage as group winners.
Yeah, certainly, man. I thought it was a decent performance as well. I mean, I thought we played okay. Obviously, a sloppy mistake led to their goal, but I think that the team played really well. We had a lot of chances to score goals. I don't think we was ever in danger of actually losing the game. I know we went behind, but I couldn't see us actually losing it, like you say, because we had so many chances. And I thought that Rooney was coming back to a bit of sharpness. He was unlucky with his shot late at the bar and a few other little chances as well. So it was an entertaining game as well. Normally, these sort of games, in the Champions League this season, none of them have been entertaining. this one was end-to-end, and it was good fun to watch. Knowing that you're already through anyway.
And a rare goal for Anderson, Dov. But we talked about it, didn't we? I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but the fact that he's starting to make these sort of bursts forward and getting into the box, and as it proved with his goal, he's sort of following up the shot that was saved, and yeah, he got his reward.
Indeed he did. I mean, he was fantastic on the night, and we've been saying that we need a creative midfielder, somebody coming from midfield, and he stepped up to the plate and he got a goal. I can't believe he actually scored. It's unreal.
Celebration wasn't bad either, was it?
that's maybe what we're expecting after his first goal. You remember when he scored that and his celebration was a bit of a letdown, because we thought he was going to plan something quite spectacular. But no, it was a nice one. And a little slap from Wayne Rooney as well to boot, which was good. But
what is all that about? Why is everyone keep slapping each other? I don't get it.
Nanny did it to Berbatov the other week.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Maybe they're just trying to keep making each other say, right, okay, we need consistency, wake up, start with this, we need some more of this, so that they remember, and some kind of reinforcement. It's like, you do something good, you get a slap. I don't know how it works, but if they keep scoring like that and Anderson keeps scoring and playing well, then give him as many slaps as he needs.
Good stuff. And Dan, decent performance once again from Jason Park. And he just seems to be playing with a real air of confidence at the moment, doesn't he?
Yeah, he played very well. I don't think he did anything particularly outstanding. I mean, he had that volley, didn't he, from the Rooney cross, which I thought if he puts that in, that's a fantastic goal. But it was hard to get a goal from there. But he's just consistent, and he had a poor start to the season, really. I don't know if he was fully match fit or anything, but as it's gone on, he's started playing really well, and he's scored a few goals as well in the last few months for us. And considering we only paid, 3.5-4 million for him, you know, he's done very well for United, and it's he's one of them players that divides opinion. You know, you start at Old Trafford and people when he plays are starting moaning, groaning, and when he loses a ball, it's just everyone just shouting at him. But, he seems to take it quite well, to be honest with you. And I don't think he cares. I think he just wants to play football, and he does it really well. And I'm glad he's at United. He's a good player.
And is he like a sort of sure, certain start for you at the moment? I mean, obviously Arsenal coming up. Is he the sort of player that will play in a big game like that?
Yeah, possibly against Arsenal. But saying that, we're at home, so he might go sort of like, you know, Nani on the right. He might put Giggs back in on the left if he proves his fitness over the next sort of week or so. So I don't know, really. Or he could even put Rooney out wide and go attacking that way. But I would envisage that he would go with Park, yes, on the left-hand side and tuck inside and things like that. Because especially with Bakary Sagna as well, getting down the right-hand side, you probably need someone a bit more defensive. Saying that, though, Giggs could do that job.
Threat of Nasri as well. I'm sure we'll discuss that a bit later on in the show. Dov, Rio Ferdinand, obviously limping off start of the second half, but Ferguson said he's confident he'll be ready for Arsenal. And I guess that sort of centre-back partnership of Rio and Vidic, if there's a time you need it to be fully operational and both of them being fit, it's against Arsenal, especially after what happened at West Ham with Johnny Evans.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is, like you say, apparently it's just a precaution, and obviously getting them back has been quite fantastic for us defensively, because we were conceding a lot of goals at the start of the season when probably say they both weren't in the team as much as they should have been. Rio, what he was taking off when he played for England wasn't as a precaution. It seems to be the same thing's happened again. And he's got, what, six days to recover from it, so I would expect him to start. And I think Fergie will push him to start as well, because it's Arsenal and they seem to be our title challengers as well. So, and obviously we've got Chelsea coming up quite soon too. So we need him back. We need our first choice defence there and ready, because it's actually a critical time in the fixture calendar.
Feel free to completely shout me down here if I've got this wrong, but Fabio and Raphael, is that the first time they've been in the first starting 11 for the first team anyway? They might have done in the reserves, but was that a first?
I don't know, actually, Steve. I'm not sure. We might have done it.
Put you on the spot there.
You have, yeah. I mean, there's no notification of this, but no, I'm not sure, actually. I can't remember too many times anyway. But I was going to bring up, actually, about Fabio. I don't know if I'm as confident as what I was sort of when Raphael first came into the team. Raphael now, he's so much improved. You know, going forward, he's very good, as we know anyway. But defensively, he doesn't get caught out as many times as what he used to. But Fabio seems to be showing them traits that Raphael was showing, say, you know, 12 months ago. And I'm just wondering whether they're the same sort of learning curve, or whether he'll get as many opportunities as what Raphael had. Because obviously he's got everything in front of him at left back.
Dan, they're exactly the same. In every way, shape and form, they are the same.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Fabio's not a good player. What I'm saying is, like, you know, obviously Raphael, when he first burst through, he was a bit suspect defensively. But I can see that from Fabio now, and I'm just hoping that Fabio sort of looks at what his brother did and then he just gets to the same level, because I love Raphael. He's cool.
He's cool.
He's cool, yeah. That's all you can say. But with Raphael, he's always had someone who can, like, obviously Wes Brown's been injured the last few seasons. John O'Shea's John O'Shea, and you know, Raphael's had a chance. Obviously, Gary Neville's not played much either, so he's had a chance to sort of to get experience and to learn next to the likes of Rio and Vidic. So all good.
Well, I think if like saying that about Fabio, he's got Evra to learn from, and if he can maybe sort of take the same sort of lessons that maybe Raphael's taken from the sort of right backs like Gary Neville and Raphael, then if Fabio can do that from Evra, then he's going to have a good future. And I think Steve, it might be the first thing they've played together in the starting 11, but I don't think it'll be the last, because if how old are they, like 19, 20 years old, that could be your fullbacks for 10 years easily, because both of them look just like potential wise they look fantastic. And I think at such a young age they're fantastic players. And
What do you think would happen if, say, this is being daft now, but in, say, 5 years' time, Barcelona knocked on the door for Raphael? Do you reckon Fabio would want to move somewhere else, or do you reckon he'd, you know, stay at United? I know that's looking far into the future and all this lot.
They might be like with the Boy Brothers. Just like they just move everywhere together.
Yeah. Obviously, because Phil Neville left United, didn't he? And then Gary stayed, but obviously they're in the same sort of vicinity anyway, so I don't know. I just wonder what would happen. I suppose you don't really know, though, so just ignore me.
Yeah, I'm not that close to the Silver Twins, unfortunately, so can't really say. No, before we move on, obviously qualifying in top spot for the knockout stages of the Champions League. Is it favourable, Dan? I mean, you look at some of the teams we could potentially face. You've got Inter Milan, AC Milan, Lyon. I know none of them are sort of firing on all cylinders at the moment, but still, you wouldn't really fancy having to go to the San Siro and picking up a result at this early stage of the competition anyway.
No, I'd fancy it. I mean, I think that Inter Milan, they're a poor team, really. Since Benitez, Mourinho's a different kettle of fish, and he's always going to inspire players to play to a top level. You know, Inter Milan, they are beatable. So if we played them in the next round, I wouldn't be particularly bothered. But obviously, you'd rather have someone like Copenhagen or Lyon we can play as well. No, I mean, it's just... But on the other hand, you know, however you if you want to win the Champions League, you've got to play the best teams. So it's one of them, really, where... You don't really know what to expect from the next round. But we can.
Dol, have you got anyone in mind that you'd sort of favourably want to play, or that you definitely want to avoid, or are you the same sort of opinion of Dan? Just bring anyone on, and we can beat anyone, really.
Well, I think we can beat anyone, but I'd rather have Copenhagen, Marseille, Lyon, or Inter actually, because they've been playing terribly this season, and again they're very very beatable. So I'd rather, because it's the second round of the Champions League, you don't want to play one of the big guns so early. Like, you want that to be your quarter final, semi final.
On the other hand, though, Dov, I mean, if we did play Inter Milan or AC Milan and we turned them over, the confidence going into the next round, then it'll be sky high, and we'll think we can beat anyone. You know, it doesn't matter who we get. So, I mean, if we do get Copenhagen, you know, and we sort of like just bumble our way through the next round, you know, it's sort of like. There's nothing built up there to get you inspired, really, is there?
What would you say about last season then, beating AC Milan and then having Bayern Munich? I suppose it was difficult circumstances because it was obviously the red card. Yeah. Didn't help matters.
Apart from that, you know, I thought we did okay in Germany. You know, we weren't brilliant, but I thought we did all right. And the tie was still in our hands, really, in the second leg. And obviously we went flying ahead of that. And then obviously Raphael, you know, got sent off and it changed from there. So, I mean... I think performance-wise against Bayern Munich, we were absolutely fine, and it was always inevitable, you know, once we went down to 10 men, that it would have been very hard to stop Bayern getting that crucial goal.
I think maybe avoiding somebody like Barcelona or Real Madrid, were like those two teams in particular, more important than who you can maybe get, because like both of them have been absolutely fantastic this season. It's you don't want to play them in the second round of the European Cup either. So I think it's good that we've avoided them.
Completely agree with that, Dolph. Completely agree. Great stuff. Well, we'll move on to look at Cabbage and Player of the Week now then. Not an awful lot happened, to be honest, since our last show, but should be plenty of candidates to choose from. Dan, who'd be your Player of the Week to start with?
Player of the Week, I think Anderson. I've got to be Anderson. You know, he scored his first goal at Old Trafford, and it was a good performance as well. I thought he played okay in the West Ham game the week before. I know we didn't play at the weekend, but... Just those two performances together, I think that I think he did all right.
Dov?
I would say Anderson, but since Dan's already picked him, I'll go with another Brazilian and give it to Raphael because he's cool. And he had a really good game on Tuesday. Got forward well, and when he was a defender as well, looked really good, quite tenacious, and is much, much improved from what it was last season. So he's getting Player of the Week for me. What about you, Steve?
I'm going to give it to... Rooney, I think. Thought he was one of the standout performers. Obviously, Anderson getting the goal was good, and he's a strong candidate. But no, I think Rooney, the effort against the bar, I think that shows that we are starting to see that he's coming back to somewhere near his best. I mean, we keep saying it every week, but he is improving with every game. And got a couple of massive games coming up, so hopefully it will culminate in him performing really well in those. So yeah, Rooney for me. What about Cabbage then, Dov? Let's start with you this time.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the obvious one, and Michael Carrick, for his mistake, which cost us the goal against Valencia. Just a wee bit sloppy from the midfielder there. So the last couple of weeks, he's sort of upped his game a little bit, but that was a mistake he really shouldn't be making. So he's getting Cabbage from me.
Ben?
Michael Carrick's obviously got to be... one to be looked at, but I thought apart from his mistake he was okay. It's a tough one. I think maybe Berbatov actually. I know he played well, but could have possibly scored at least one of his chances, and he wasn't clinical enough.
Fair enough. It's a topsy-turvy season in terms of Cabbage and Player of the Week for Mr. Berbatov. He's had a few of each, I think. But I'm going to give it to Carrick, just for the same reason as Dov, really. I don't think there was anyone outstandingly bad. I don't think Carrick was outstandingly bad, but obviously the pass gave away the goal. So yeah.
What did you make of Ben Amos's performance? I thought he did really well. You know, his first Champions League game. I think it's only his third or fourth game for United as well. I think he did generally well. What do you guys think? Do you think he's one to be looked at in the future?
Well, I think one thing, before we get on to Amos, one thing it sort of states that Cushack's leaving probably in January. I think that's the final nail in his coffin if he's not even getting a start in a dead rubber Champions League game where he doesn't play much anyway and sort of a youngster, essentially. Third choice keeper's getting in ahead of him. I think Cushack's gone. No, I'll mention it last week, it's good though about
Amos, because now Amos can get a bit of experience in that. I know he nearly got beat at his near post, didn't he, early on in the game, but he reacted very well. And his kicking was a bit suspect at times, but I mean he's got a really weird kicking style as well. You notice when he's taking his goal kicks, he was starting from the middle of his goal, then coming. It's a bit odd that I've never seen that. As long as he keeps the ball out of the net, it doesn't matter, I suppose.
just want to add there. I mean, judging by what Dov said about Cushack, I mean, so. Seemingly, it's West Ham that's done it, is it? I mean, the performance against West Ham. Why play him in a League Cup game like that? Why not start with Amos if your intention is that Cushack's off in the January transfer window?
I think possibly, yeah. I think maybe Fergie's just he's saying the Lindegaard and he's just put hard enough. I don't know. I think Cushack's been making noises behind the scenes that he wants more first team football. He's not getting it. Had one game against West Ham, had a nightmare. So. I don't know, give Ben Amos a go. He done well against Valencia. I think the writing is well. I just think because of that, the writing's on the wall for Cushack. I can't see how Fergie could give him a starting team ahead of Ben Amos because when Ben Amos has had a chance, he's played well. The same happened with Cushack last season. He had a chance, he played well, but he gets another chance and then has a nightmare. So I think his time is up.
Probably one of those things where. Words have been said behind the scenes, like you say, but we'll never really know. But yeah.
Well, if you're Fergie, though, I mean, you'd rather. You've obviously seen Cusack. You know what Cusack can do, and if you are thinking about letting him go, you might as well give Amos the time if you've got a game spare to put him in and see how he does. You know. So I think it's fair enough. I wasn't surprised at all by that.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, as you're well aware by now, it is opposition fan time on the RedCafe.net podcast. And as we've got Arsenal on Monday evening, I'm delighted to welcome Andrew from arsblog.com. Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure having such an esteemed member of the blogging community on the show.
Well, thank you again. What can I say?
we're not going to be like The Guardian and publish your full name, so we're just going to call you Andrew and keep the mystery going.
Keep the stalkers away.
Perfect. Okay, well, it's United-Arsenal. It's a massive game on a Monday evening. How do you think you've been doing this season so far, being that you sit top of the league ahead of ourselves, although we do have a game in hand?
It's confusing because we're just talking about this. You know, there's a general sense of sort of confusion that we're top of the league in a way because we've lost four games. And here we are in December, top of the league. And I know you've got the game in hand and everything, but if we win or if we draw on Monday night, then we're going to stay top. And it's a strange one. We've played some brilliant stuff this season, but we've also played some really terrible stuff. And defensively, we've been suspect. And, you know, there is, for me, just a bit of confusion that you can lose four games, three of them at home, and still be top of the league. And I know it says quite a bit about the teams around in terms of United drawing a lot of games and Chelsea falling away and sort of self imploding a little bit in the last month or so. So we haven't necessarily found any consistency in our game, which is a problem, I suppose. And I don't know that you can rely on other teams' mishaps throughout the season. So far, so good, because we are where we are, but we can definitely improve.
Yeah, well, one player who has improved immensely this season has been Samir Nasri, and he's been the talk of every single Premier League podcast I've listened to, all the papers. It's turned out a fantastic player this season. I mean, what, in your opinion, has been the sudden transformation in his game?
I think he's always had the ability, because we've seen it in the past. I mean, you'll remember the two goals he scored against Man United at the Emirates a couple of seasons ago, and he's always been capable of brilliant stuff. And There was a goal last season against Porto, which is up for one of the goals of the season. And he's got tremendous ability, but hasn't been able to produce on a consistent level because of injuries. And I think that sort of hampered him. And he wasn't picked for the World Cup, which was a surprise, but I think a real blessing in disguise, given what happened with the French team during the summer. So he had the summer off. He didn't have the post-World Cup hangover. He was able to do a proper preseason. And I think not being picked for the World Cup gave him a bit of a, maybe not a kick in the arse, but it certainly focused him. And we've seen, from an Arsenal point of view, we've definitely reaped the benefits of a player who's fresh, who's had a good preseason, who's absolutely determined to show that he should have been picked for the World Cup, even though in the end it was probably the best thing for him that he wasn't. And the ability that he has never been in question, just the ability to produce it on a consistent level. And, you know, in the absence of Fabregas, he's taken on a lot of responsibility. We've needed somebody to step up and fill the creative gap, and maybe people would look more automatically to André Arshavin as the name player to do that. But Nasri's been the guy who's done it, and it's fantastic to see. He's playing brilliant stuff.
What do you think the likelihood of Fabregas playing on Monday is? I mean, he is injured, but I was reading today on his Twitter feed that he's hoping to be back for Monday. I mean, would you risk him given his injury problems of recent times?
I would be inclined. I mean, looking at Arsene Wenger talking about how there's still a big uncertainty, not a little uncertainty, a big uncertainty about him being involved for Monday. And I would be inclined, despite the importance of the game, to leave him until he's properly fit, because he's had these niggling hamstring injuries. And I think he needs to get 100% fit before we risk him. And I know he's not going to go out if he still feels something on the hamstring, but is he really 100%? Because, you know, the game on Monday is important, but it's not season defining at this stage. And where you need Cesc Fabregas is for the rest of the season. There's other big, big games coming up for Arsenal as well. There's a game against Stoke, then a game against Chelsea, then there's Man City in early January as well. So maybe it would be best, if he's not really 100% fit, to leave him out for this one and make sure that you've got a fit Cesc Fabregas for the rest of the season, because, you know, the rest of the season is more important than Monday night, if you get what I mean.
All right, and indeed I do. It's too early to be winning league titles in December, let's just say that. Let's move away from the game and just talk about United and Arsenal in a more general sense. And I want to get your opinion. Do you feel that the rivalries maybe softened between the two over the last few years, given Sir Alex Ferguson's comments saying that United fans should maybe lay off Arsene Wenger a little bit?
I think the softening of the rivalry is a consequence of the fact that Arsenal haven't necessarily been as good as we used to be, in the way that we were always challenging for the title between ourselves and yourselves in the late 90s and the early part of the decade. You know, it was generally Arsenal and United, one or the other, for the title. And that's where the rivalry came from two teams that really, really wanted to outdo each other, from two managers that really wanted to outdo each other. And to a certain extent, we haven't been a threat over the last few seasons. So I think that has probably softened things, in the sense that we don't have, not that the fixtures aren't as important, or there isn't the same sense of, you know, I really want to beat United in the same way that you really want to beat Arsenal, but it's not as, the importance isn't there in terms of the league fixtures when we're playing. So I think that's softened things from that point of view. And of course the emergence of Chelsea and the fact that everybody looks at Chelsea in a way and goes, you know, it's kind of a bit distasteful. I don't know what you think about it, but I still think, you know, the whole sugar daddy owner thing, I don't like it, and I think it's bad for the game. And you're probably very much aware of it now because it's happening at Man City. So maybe the fact that there's a bit more of a spread, if you know what I mean. So the there's a sort of not the enemy of my enemy kind of a thing going on, but because we might both hate Chelsea, or, you know, they've been a rival as well. So I think it's been deflected and softened and what have you. But, you know, I would like for it to be a bit more intense, because it means that Arsenal are back in the race.
Indeed, I would. I think maybe as well the type of players both teams have got now as well. I mean, when the rivalry was maybe at its height, you had the two captains, Vieira and Roy Keane, who were two fiery players, two players who would put themselves about on the park. And then if you look at the two teams now, you haven't really got that, which again drops the level of intensity on the park as well, which maybe has something to do with it.
Well, I think that's a good point. And it wasn't, let's remember, it wasn't just Vieira and Keane. You know, there was all the guys on your team. Remember those games, you know, every single one of those players could put it about. You know, if there was a kick to be made, they'd make the kick and they'd take the kick, and they were tremendously physical games and fantastic. You know, I mean, they never really spilled over apart from that one time, and that was a big comedy. When you look back on it now, it's all just a big comedy, you know, jumping in the air and the whole lot. So, you know, it was fantastic because for the most part, the rivalry between the teams, as much as we didn't like you and you didn't like us, you know, it was built on two really, really good football teams. And that was the main part of the rivalry, you know, and that's what fueled it all. So yeah, I think you're right in a way that the players at the moment aren't necessarily as spiky and as committed, and maybe that's, you know, something you could discuss at a later stage in other podcasts, just the way that football in general is maybe not has changed over the last few seasons.
It's an interesting point. Reminiscing a little bit there. What would be your favourite game between the two of us that you can remember? Obviously, there's been some fantastic encounters in the past. What would be your number one game?
Well, I mean, there's always the night, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but the night when we won the league at your place, that was a fantastic game. There was the 1979 FA Cup final, which is really the first game I can remember, and the joy of being 2-0 up, and then the horror of how the hell did we concede two goals? And, you know, I was only 9 or 10 years old at the time. No, this can't happen. And then, you know, minutes later, the joy of winning the thing. But I think the one game that kind of sticks in my mind a bit is the 3-2 game at Highbury when David Platt, I think, scored the winning goal. And to this day, it's one of the best headers I've ever seen. And I've always kind of hated David Platt just from when he played with England, when he played with Aston Villa. I just didn't like him. And it was kind of difficult. We were talking before we started recording about Mr. Silvestre, and it was that kind of thing. You know, even though he's in your shirt, you kind of go, well, he's a bit of a cunt, really, isn't he? I swear, sorry. You know, that game, because we were 2-0 up, and then United got it back to 2-2, and it was Teddy Sheringham, I think, that scored both the goals. And then that header, you know, it couldn't have been more perfect. So I think, just in terms, again, it goes back to that rivalry, and it was maybe the beginnings of that rivalry between United and Arsenal and Wenger and Ferguson. You know, that game really sticks out for me.
Well, if you're bringing that up, I'm bringing up the 4-2 victory in February 2005 when John O'Shea scored that magnificent chip goal. that was the making of John O'Shea in that game. That was another fantastic game, had everything in it as well.
I think, was that the game when Almunia played and was sort of running around trying to catch balls that weren't there, and
It was the game when Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira had their little spat in the tunnel as well.
Lovely
evening at Highbury. I remember that one.
You're listening to the Red Cafe.
Look at some of the players that we've got. Which player would you take at the Emirates if you could have any United player, and Arsene Wenger would spend some of the cash reserves that you have? You can have anybody you like.
Given the fact that we've got tremendous attacking talent, we've got a lot of midfield players that you know, have got a lot of potential still, and a lot of time to grow into the team. I think Arsenal's real issues are defensive. So from that point of view, I'd take Vidic because he's the kind of defender that Arsenal really need. You know, I think we've got a player like that in Thomas Vermaelen, but he's injured, and maybe a couple of the other defenders still have something to prove. So Vidic is a fantastic defender. He's big and strong and brave and puts his head where, you know, a lot of players wouldn't put their feet. So yeah, I think I'd take Vidic.
A very, very good choice. Andrew, so back to the game. How do you think Arsene Wenger will set up at Old Trafford? Do you think he'll set up to go for it? Or do you think he'll maybe sit back a little bit and wait on United attack on Arsenal and try and hit on the counter-attack?
I don't think he knows how to sit back and not go for it. I mean, that's the issue that we have. You know, there's a sense that some of the comments he made last week that our plan appears to be just score more than the opposition, which isn't terribly sophisticated, but it seems to be what we're doing. So I don't think there's any way that we'll sit back. I mean, I think he puts out an attacking team, and I think he'll put out an attacking team on Monday. I think he'll put out a team that will go out and win the game. He won't sort of send them out to try and play for a 0-0 or anything like that. So it'll be interesting to see how we cope. And, you know, the main issue I think we have really is that our defense is a bit shaky, and maybe midfield gets a bit carried away with itself and likes to charge forward and try and score goals when there's sort of no need for it. So when you're winning by a goal, you don't want to see your defensive midfielder upfield trying to curl one in at the top corner, you know, which has happened a bit too often this season. So perhaps he might suggest that there's a little more common sense applied in situations like that. But I think, you know, the philosophy of Arsene Wenger, and very much, I think, mirrored to a certain extent by Sir Alex Ferguson, is that he sends teams out to win games. And I think both of them will be going out to do that. Both teams have goals in them. I don't see a scoreless game at all. I can't see Arsenal going through the game without conceding, but I can see a scoring as well. So if I had to put some money on it at this stage, I think I'd put money on a draw.
You put money in a draw. Well, you haven't beaten us for 2 years. You can correct me.
Oh, well, then a win. It's about time. The law of averages is on our side. Thanks. I didn't know that.
I can see it. The run continuing. I think we've got another couple of years left of beating you just yet.
Couple of years, actually.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Who from United are you maybe worried about? Obviously, we've got Rooney, who's seems to be back in form after his little trip to the US and his contract dispute. Berbatov is a player who, after his fantastic start, seems to be finding a little bit of form now as well. And Nani, who's having a very, very good season. And Anderson, another, who's sort of came into the fore in the last couple of weeks. You say you're maybe a bit shaky defensively. Do you see one of those guys maybe picking you apart, or do you think it'll come from an unlikely source?
I don't know. I mean, Nani surprised me last season when we played you guys at home, and I didn't really think he was capable of that kind of a game. And that seems to have been a bit of a platform for him to go on and what's the establish himself, really. You know, when there was a lot of talk about him maybe being moved on, you know, because of his lack of form and what have you. So, you know, he's a player who can hurt you for sure. He can score great goals, and he's very pacey and direct. Rooney. You know, I know he's had his problems, but, you know, on his day, Rooney's a fantastic player. I suppose we have to hope that Berbatov has one of those can't-be-arsed days, because, you know, on those particular days, he's not terribly effective at all. But, I mean, look, United have very good players. They're a very good team. You know, they've been together for, you know, a lot of seasons, and there's a lot of continuity there, which... You know, perhaps rather than looking at individuals, you look at the strength of the team as a whole. You haven't lost a game yet this season, have you?
Only to West Ham in the Carling Cup. Thank you for reminding me, Andrew.
Well, I mean, the Carling Cup, you don't care about it. So you've won it enough at this stage. So you haven't lost a game in the league this season. And that, you know, maybe some of the performances haven't been terribly convincing, but you can't do anything but take that as a positive. So for me, you know, it's more about the team being dangerous than any individuals. I don't think you can focus on one or the others. But, I mean, if you give Rooney or Berbatov or Nani, if you give them the time and space that Arsenal defences have been giving teams this season, then, you know, we'll get punished. So it's up to us to defend well and perhaps take our chances when they come along. And if we can hold out and keep a clean sheet, you know, it'll go well for us. But I think, you know, it's going to be a good game. I think it's really going to be a good game because, you know, the stakes are high. If we win, you know, it means we've sort of put your game in hand to bed. And, you know, if you win, it means you go ahead and you've got a game in hand. So it's going to be huge, you know. So looking forward to it, and I hope that we can turn up on the day.
Indeed. And just before I let you go, Andrew, you mentioned that you think it'll be a draw. What would your score prediction be?
1-1.
Excellent, Willie. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on your show, Andrew.
All right, David. Thanks very much indeed.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Right then, guys. Massive, massive game on Monday night. It is, of course, Arsenal. And Dan, I mean, just how crucial would you say a win, or on the flip side, a defeat could be in a sort of grand scheme of things in the title race?
Well, obviously, Arsenal, you know, the top of the league at the moment, and they come to Old Trafford, which, I mean, if it was at the Emirates, I might be a little bit sceptical about it. But I think that, especially on a Monday night, the atmosphere should be pretty good against, you know, one of the main title contenders. And I think that the fans will be very important in getting the team through the game, because Arsenal, they're a very good team. They're in great form at the moment. Obviously, Samir Nasri's playing well. And they've got a threat up front with Shamak as well, so... I think we'll do okay, because, you know, the weak wing is clearly defending. The two centre halves knocked each other out on the weekend, didn't they? They didn't even talk to each other. So, there's got to be a way around. You know, with Rooney, and like you say, Steve, he played well in the last game, and he's quick into playing in and around the box. Hopefully, he'll come good again on Monday night, and him and Berbatov can link up and hopefully, you know, get a few goals, because I'm very confident that United will win. And obviously, if we do win. And then if we beat Chelsea again the following weekend, I think we've got a very good chance of winning the league. And I can't see how we would actually throw it away from there, because I think that's, as soon as you get on top, really, I think that United are one of them teams that can sort of second half of the season really go for it and put it to bed.
Yeah, and Dov, I mean, Dan said there, he thinks a couple of victories in the next two games could be vital for us. But you talk about December always sort of being a really important month. But I think... this season, especially, I mean, we've got, we've said it there, we've got Arsenal and then Chelsea. Chelsea as well are playing Tottenham, then us, then Arsenal. So, could be a completely different outlook to the table come the beginning of January.
Yeah, no, if we can get, I agree with Dan, if we get sort of daylight between us and sort of the main rivals being Arsenal and Chelsea, then we'll only power on from there. Like, I can't see us, if we've got like maybe 4, 5, 6 points between us and our next challengers, then you've got to sort of make us heavy favourites, because Fergie's not going to say, well, right, you've got a cushion there, build on it. It would say use it as a sort of catalyst to go forward to build on it even more. And who would have said that at the start of the season, that by January we could have had a 4-point lead over our nearest challengers, because we looked completely rubbish.
I think the point is, though, that, you know, the rest of the league sort of, well, the rest of, like, you know, obviously Chelsea and Arsenal and, you know, Liverpool, they've not really hit the standards what you expect, and it's made it a lot tighter. And obviously United have, you know, they've not had a brilliant start to the season, but like you say, a few wins now and they can be flying again.
Chelsea's been the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
It's just how they've suddenly started losing games that really they should be winning easily.
Steve as well. I mean, everyone, I was watching Sky Sports last night for the football, and they were banging on about Ray Wilkins and all this lot, but Ray Wilkins can't have changed anything leaving. And they mentioned as well about Frank Lampard not playing, but Lampard wasn't playing at the beginning of the season either, you know, when they were beating teams 5-0 or whatever, you know. So something can't just, you know, just change like that. And Malouda was flying at the beginning of the season. He's not really done much since, and Anelka's been okay. Drogba's hardly had a kick in some games, so it's a bit odd, really.
Do you think Roman Abramovich is our secret United fan? He's just like, right, okay, right, Chelsea are getting a bit too far ahead here, right? I'm going to start sacking people and changing things.
You do come out of them. What about back to Arsenal, Dan? What about formation? I mean, would you be tempted? Will Ferguson be tempted to match up? I mean, Arsenal, it's likely they're going to go with that sort of 4-5-1 system with maybe Shamak up front on his own. Would you be tempted to do the same sort of thing with the two supporting wingers, or go for it with a 4-4-2?
Personally, I'd rather see him go for it, you know, with the old 4-4-2. You know, Arsenal, they'll want to play football like they always do, but like you say, if you get at them and get out the defence in the first sort of 10-15 minutes, put them on the back foot, try and nick a goal early. It's always important to do that, and, you know, then the game should open up for us, because Arsenal has to come out for us then, and we can counter-attack. But it's never as simple as that, obviously. I think a lot depends whether Paul Scholes will play, you know, Steve, because apparently he's injured and he might not be able to make the game. But I think if Scholes plays, you could possibly go 3 in midfield in the centre, put Scholes in the middle. I know I said this last week about Blackpool, you could possibly do the same, you know. You've got to play Anderson now, because he's coming to a few good games. And he can hopefully, you know, get on top of players like Nasri and just snuff them out a little bit. And then obviously we can get the ball and move forward that way. But no, I'd expect a 4-4-2.
Really?
Yeah, Rooney, Berbatov up front, Nani on the right, and you know, like you say, Park or Giggs on the left.
I just get the feeling he's going to be a bit worried about being overrun in midfield with Arsenal having the sort of three centre midfielders in there. I just get the feeling he's going to line up and sort of go like for like and have a go at them that way. Maybe Rooney, possibly on the left, but then you said Park's likely to start, isn't he? So maybe Park on the right.
As well, I mean, Fletcher's not been playing brilliant the last few weeks, and if we played 4-4-2, looking on the other side, you know, who are you going to play as your central midfielders? Because Carrick made a mistake last night. I know it wasn't a massive mistake, but it was a massive mistake in the context of the game, but, you know, generally he did okay. I didn't think anything was wrong with him. And but Fletcher's not really had a good start to the season. And do you play him against Arsenal and hope that he just suddenly comes good and he can tackle players like Nasri, he can get in and about on Arshavin, etc., and Wilshere if he plays? Or do you risk it and then play Carrick and Scholes, or, you know, Carrick or Anderson? I don't know. It's an odd one.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens. It's certainly going to be an intriguing 90 minutes. What about predictions then? How do you see the final score going, Dov?
I think it'll be pretty high scoring. I just think you've got two teams who are very, very good going forward. So I think it might be something like 3-2, 2-1, something like that. I think it'll be close, because usually the games tend to be close. But so I'll say it's maybe 2-1 or 3-2. But lots of goals, and I think it'll be quite action-packed as well.
Stuff. Dan, how do you see it finishing?
Yeah, similar. You know, I don't think it'll be a tight affair. I think that it'll be a few goals. I'm going to go with 3-1 United. Steve, you, come on.
Yeah, I usually get away with doing
it. I know, well, not this time.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw.
I just think Arsenal are playing well at the moment, and I think stopping Nasri, if we stop Nasri, I think we've got a very good chance of coming out on top. I think Fabregas, they're saying he might be fit, he might not be, but probably expect him to start if he's anywhere near being fit. So, but to be fair, he's not really looked anywhere near sort of what we know he can produce in recent times, whether that's because he's been struggling with injuries and whatnot. But no, I'm sure he'll be on his game against us. So yeah, 1-0 will be my score prediction. Right then, well, that just about brings an end to this week's episode of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, you can email us podcast@redcafe.net with any questions, suggestions, or any sort of comments on the show in general. And that just leaves me to just about get in. Thanks a lot for listening, and make sure you tune in next week. We'll be right back.